This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We continue coverage of what's going on in Salem during the short session of the Oregon State Legislature, and State Representative Virgil Osborne ducking off the floor and in with us now. Thanks for being on today.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, I know it's been a busy day. Talk about what's gone on this morning.
Well, we spent the majority of the morning working on, on the House floor, arguing the gun bill, the 4145, I think it is, trying to convince the majority party in the building that taking away more of your rights is not a good idea for a host of reasons. But ultimately, we lost that battle. And, I pointed out in my testimony on the floor that, you know, we came into this session to do what was supposed to be right for our people, and that is to make Oregon more affordable. And we haven't done any of that in the last 3 weeks. All we've done is work on bills that either we add taxes, which we did yesterday, or we make it more difficult to live in Oregon and more rules and regulations. And the majority party seems to think that is the way of the future. I'm of the mindset that I think at this point, I think they can just go ahead and have it, because I do believe that the people of Oregon are pretty much over it, and they will probably lose some seats over some of the bad decisions.
So talk about the specifics of what this legislation that just passed the House would do.
So for the gun bill, what it does, it just reinforces Measure 114. So it kind of adds more to the waiting time for, I think it's a 60-day waiting period. If you want to buy a gun, you'll have to go to a shooting range and qualify before you can buy a gun. It also kind of puts a little extra bite into the high-capacity magazine law. None of this really matters if the court challenged to Measure 114 is actually found, if they find they're in our favor, then none of this bill would have even mattered. So if that is the case, and I pray that it is, we will have spent several hours of taxpayer money arguing something that will just go away because it's a federal override. We can't do that as a state.
And now, where are we at with this? Does it still have to go over to the Senate?
No, this one came from the Senate, this one is a House bill, right? So it'll go to the Senate. I hope the Senate can kill this one. I'm sorry, there's so many bills going through right now, it's hard to remember what numbers go where, but hopefully the Senate can kill this, and I believe there's a good possibility of that. This is basically a bill that's virtue signaling. If you go and listen to the House testimony, there's a lot of folks testifying on the floor from the majority party basically saying this is going to prevent suicides. Well, I don't believe that this is going to prevent gun suicides. I think if somebody wants to get a gun to commit suicide, they're going to find a way to do it. Also, they say this bill helps prevent criminals from having guns. Last time I checked, criminals don't really go and do the purchase of a gun through a gun store. They either buy it from an individual or they steal it. They're not too concerned about following the laws, or they wouldn't be criminals. But, you know, again, virtue signaling, this is for, there's a small group of people that run around up here that go into the offices of the majority party representatives and senators, and they push really hard for them to follow what they want. I call them the Cade people. That's Citizens Against Virtually Everything. And they don't come to my office, Kyle. I don't listen to the garbage that they preach.
So as we roll along here, there's some other big high-profile things. The one that comes to mind next is what's going to happen with the Senate Bill 1599 about moving the election date on the referendum position over to May. And it seems like today is sort of a pivotal day with that.
Yeah, so there was a lot of stuff going on in the background over the last couple of days. I mean, everything we do up here right now, we're down under I think we're probably in about a 13-day window. So everything that happens up here is negotiating behind the scenes, trying to either stop the bad stuff. Now we are within range of being able to walk out as a House, which we actually did take a little pause the other day, but you can walk out as a House for part of the time, and Senate can walk out the rest of the time. We have to come back to pass you know, the budget bills. But we did House Bill 4134, I think it was yesterday, which was a tax. It was a transient lodging tax. We fought really hard against that. And part of the whole negotiation was to move, if we allowed some of these bills to go through, we were going to move the 1599 out to next Monday. So that bill, we won't see third read on the House floor until Monday, and then we'll probably argue about that all day long. I don't, you know, that is a completely unconstitutional bill, but, you know, it seems to me like these days, and I hate to sound so cynical, but a lot of the stuff we're doing in this building is flatly just not constitutional at this point.
Now, my understanding from the Secretary of State's office was that SB 1599 would have to be approved by both chambers, signed by the governor by either today or tomorrow, in order for those who wanted to move it to May, for that to even be able to take place logistically. Have you essentially kind of shut that down at this point?
Well, you're correct. He did write that letter, but you also have to remember, and it's the 25th, by the way, which I don't even know what today is.
That is, today is the 25th.
That is today. So it's not even going to be third read. So it won't make it to a vote on the House floor until next week. You have to remember, in the game of politics, who controls all the dice. And unfortunately, in the majority party, our Secretary of State is also part of that majority party. And he, even though what he said is correct, if you follow the Constitution through, it gives them a loophole on that. And it basically says if they can't figure it out by a certain date, then they're free to go ahead and figure it out on their own. So I'm quite sure that our governor and our Secretary of State will work together to make sure that once that thing is passed, if it gets passed, that it will end up going into effect, and will probably, it depends, you know, there are still some things at play, but there's a good chance that referendum will get moved to May. And frankly, again, unconstitutional, it's horrible. It really is just a horrible thing.
Well, and I know as well, not only for some of the paperwork logistics, but for instance, for all the things they have to do for ballots to go out to service people, folks out of the country right now, things like that. I mean, some of those deadlines don't particularly move.
Correct. But they'll find a way to make it happen by working overtime. You know, whatever they need to do, they'll find a way to make it happen, because they really do not want the governor to have to wear this around her neck in November. Frankly, I hope that it does go to November. We're trying really hard to put it in November. But, you know, there's other things that are out there that are lurking. This IP 28, which is, again, an absolutely horrible bill. Well, it's not a bill. It's an initiative petition. You know, I think they have 100,000 signatures. I think they need 120,000 to get it on the ballot. But that's the one that basically stops all hunting, fishing, you know, ranching, everything in the whole state of Oregon. It's hard to believe we're having this conversation, but there is actually an initiative petition to do that. If that makes it to the ballot, that makes it to the ballot in November. And if you want to get Republicans out to vote, I cannot think of a better way to get them out to vote no. And, you know, if they're out to vote, then they're going to vote down ticket too, or up ticket, whatever it may be. But there's some really crazy things happening in the state of Oregon right now. And I sometimes I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror and I go, am I living in the same reality as our governor? I don't think so.
I don't know how that one is structured, but how do you essentially put out a piece of legislation that takes multiple industries, farming, ranching, et cetera, and just, if I'm understanding correctly, make them illegal?
Well, you can make an initiative petition for anything you want, Kyle. You just have to have enough signatures to back it up. And the way this thing has been worded is it's going to take away animal cruelty. And so when you're standing there getting signatures on a petition and you walk up to somebody and say, hey, this is fighting against animal cruelty, of course they're going to sign it. If they read the actual petition or the bill, what they're really doing is taking away the ability for farmers to literally butcher their cattle or chickens, or you're taking away all your hunting rights. You can't kill an animal. You can't even kill a mouse and a mousetrap in your house in the state of Oregon if this was the past. That is how completely insane this bill is. But yet, it is working its way to the ballot. I don't think it'll have the muster to get to the ballot. But, they're not that far away from it. I believe they have till, I don't know what their deadline is for collecting signatures, but you know, it's a November thing. It's not a primary thing. So I believe they have until July to get it done.
And this one would impact fishing as well, right?
It would, yes, absolutely. You will not be able to harvest an animal in the state of Oregon. An animal would include fish.
So what else is going on legislatively that has got your attention during this short session?
Just about every piece of legislation that's come across the floor right now is the whole intent for coming into short session is to make adjustments to budget bills and to create situations that if we have a problem with some of the bills that we've passed, we're supposed to go in and we're supposed to fix those problems. We're not doing any of that, and also we're not making Oregon any more affordable to live. And so what we're focused on, there's a lot of bills going through right now that are against the Trump administration. We just did one yesterday that the Democrats passed, and it stops, it gives the ability, well, it stops ICE from being able to wear a face mask. They have to wear a uniform, they have to identify themselves, but it also, because it's not constitutional unless they include all police force, it basically eliminates undercover operations. Now, they did a carve-out for some of it, but your police have to be fully identifiable with their name on their shirt, no masks. So, I guess in some ways that's virtue signaling because they're just basically saying the Trump administration, ha-ha, Oregon's going to not allow you to do this. The fact is they do not have the right to tell the Trump administration what federal law enforcement can do, but yet we spent a whole day wasted on that. So that's another one that it's done and it's on its way out of the House now. There's other ones. There's the disconnect bill, which I think we're hearing this afternoon, which is House Bill 50 or Senate Bill 1507, which disconnects from the Trump administration's big beautiful bill, which, you know, frankly, that bill gives us no tip, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime up to a certain amount, and you're able to write off your car interest rate loan. They're taking all that away from us with this 1507 bill, Senate Bill 1507.
Now, there was an issue with Representative Krupp last week, I think it was, that really got a lot of attention. Where are things at with that?
Absolutely. So Representative Krupp it was the chair of the Conduct Committee, if you can believe that. He was also the chair of the Judiciary Committee, which is where the gun bill was originating from. And he did not have the votes in his committee to get that gun bill out of committee into the House floor. So it would have died and should have died in committee. One of his own Democrats on committee voted no, and that's Representative Tran. And she's a minority from Vietnam, but she's a House representative here. And he stopped the committee during the vote after she voted no. He stopped the committee, took her out in the hallway, and verbally abused her to the point where she came back in tears and changed her vote to a yes to push that bill out of the committee and onto the floor, which is what we've been doing all day today. Republicans came to the House floor and we demanded to the speaker that he be taken off the Conduct Committee because by all means, the Conduct Committee should be the committee investigating an HR violation, which is what we call Rule 27 here. And there was a complaint filed by an outside person in the building that saw what happened. There was a complaint filed to HR, and HR refused to investigate it because, again, it's a majority party and they do whatever they want. And we didn't accept that. We wouldn't agree to come back to the floor. We left the floor, and we said we're not coming back until he either resigns from the committee, and we want to make the motion. They found a loophole in Mason's manual, so we didn't get to make the motion to have him removed. He was able to resign from the committee, and we voted on approving his resignation, which, of course, we did. Now, since then, there's a movement. He's from Bend. He's a representative from Bend. Since then, there's a movement that I'm hoping will stick. He needs to be taken off of all committees. I've seen people punished for a heck of a lot worse for a heck of a lot less. And if you're a Republican in Salem, you would probably lose all of your committee assignments and probably have the hinges taken off your office door for doing what he did. Yet he's been allowed to stay in his position. And it's quite frankly, this has been a rough week, sir.
So what are you hearing in terms of some of these issues? Is everything strictly one party versus another? Or are there places where people are meeting in the middle more or places where one party or the other has some members going across the aisle?
So earlier, I guess 2 weeks ago, we did have a, we were able to kill an insurance bill. I think I mentioned that last time we spoke. We were able to kill a bad bill that would have put the insurance companies into the Unlawful Trade Practices Act, which would have allowed a third-party lawsuit, which would have raised insurance prices across the entire state. We argued that on the floor. We actually had some Democrats come to our side on that and vote against it, so it died on the floor. There are a few other bills that the Democrats, there's a marijuana bill right now that I believe is going to die in committee, at least I hope. Today, as of today, it should have died. But there's a bill that they're trying to make, and this is, again, by one of the senators. She's trying to make it illegal for marijuana companies to be able to sell product in bulk. In other words, like, you know, the gummies. She wants them wrapped individually, and it would be a real strain on the marijuana business. I'm not a pro-marijuana guy, but I am pro-business, and this is going to add $2 million per business to buy the equipment. And there's a host of other problems, too. And I think the Democrats have decided that that's not a great idea. So there are some bills that we are, you know, and then there's a few bills that are going through that are just basic. Nobody cares. You know, they're fixes, but very few of those.
And talk about some of the things you've been working on specifically with your committees.
Well, most of what I just spoke about has been in my committee. The gun bill, of course, isn't, but we've been working on, we were working on the marijuana bill, and we had the hearings on it, and it has not got a work session yet, so hopefully it doesn't. Committees have pretty much, excuse me, committees have gone now to, there's I think I have one bill in committee today. Everything's either gone to the House or gone to the Senate. The bills have all been worked. We really don't have that many bills left on the House floor today. I think there might be a dozen left until we get some more bills from the Senate. So committees haven't really been doing much.
And with just a few days left, because essentially what's the drop dead date, if you will, to exit the exit Salem?
March 10th, I believe, is signing die. So that will be it. We are leaving by then. So they have to get everything done. Part of the negotiations with Senate Bill 1599, which is the referendum bill, was to move it to Monday. And part of that negotiation said we don't have to come in over the weekend. So anytime they're not calling floor sessions, good things happen, because that means we're not doing anything on the floor. Every time we go to the floor, we do bad things.
What are you hearing from residents of your district just about their thoughts about what's happening in Salem right now?
Yeah, interesting. So residents from my district text me all day long, every day, and email me all day long, you know, every day, even in the middle of the night. And I can tell you that as the gun bill was progressing through the House today, I was getting multiple text messages. Everybody, of course, wants it to be, you know, they want us to fight, which I certainly did. And we'll always fight for my people, because I think it's much more important than to fight for some kind of an idealism that the other party seems to fight for. But I get a lot of feedback. Most all of it is in favor of the way I'm already headed. So I haven't really, for the most part, I've had no negative feedback. There is a campaign finance bill that's coming up here pretty soon that I believe there are some Democrats in the district that have been talking to me a little bit, and they're not happy about it. They want it killed. It's a bill that's going to be bad for both parties. So, you know, I'm kind of a mindset to sit back and let it happen, see what happens, and they can own it if they want.
So what happens? Let's get past the short session. Do you kind of shift into helping your party for the upcoming election?
Well, of course, yes, it is campaign season, so we'll go back to campaigning. But really, campaigning for me means getting out and talking to people, and that's what I do. I mean, we've already pretty much the month of March, and I think part of April is already booked up almost every weekend, and several meetings throughout each week with constituents, and we talk about problems, and we talk about issues, and we look for legislation that I can possibly bring to the community to help with a problem that they may have, or, you know, something even foresighted that they see coming. And that's the part of this job that I really, really enjoy, because working with the community to make it better is what we all should be doing. And I think most of your, I would say the majority of the people in this position do that, but there are some that do not.
Now, do you have much time for interaction with folks at the federal level while you're in the middle of the short session?
I actually had the opportunity to go to the president's State of the Union address last night, but I did not go. I knew we had the gun bill coming up. We had some things that needed to be argued, so I stayed in Oregon. I did not go to Washington, D.C., but the ability to go was given to me by some of our federal folks. Right now, we haven't really been too much in contact with our federal folks because we haven't had a lot of interaction. There just hadn't been bills that are really going back and forth. And right now, after the president's speech last night, I mean, I'm sure you've seen all of the social media on how our federal representatives are acting, which is just appalling what some of them are doing. And frankly, if that's how they're going to act as elected officials, I don't want to have a whole lot to do with some of them. So
now, as you look towards the rest of this cycle, do you see, given everything that's happening in the short session, maybe given things on the national level, what do you see for the GOP in terms of the potential to pick up some seats this fall in the legislature?
Yeah, I think we're going to pick up some swing seats for sure. We've targeted three of them very heavily. The game of politics is it's a blood sport. And the reality of it is that you're not going to elect a Republican, a hard right Republican in downtown Portland, and you're not going to elect a hard left Democrat in downtown Roseburg. It's just not going to happen. So what we do is we pick our battles and we try to focus, not just financially, but behind the scenes, we try to focus on those folks that can potentially win those seats. We will, as a caucus, and me being part of leadership, we have been working side by side with some of our candidates. We have some great candidates coming up. We have some folks that are retiring. Rick Lewis from Silverton is going to be retiring. Boomer Wright is going to be retiring. So we've got some great candidates to fill those seats. And I believe they will stay red and they will stay Republican. So we're looking at Tracy Kramer's seat, and we're looking at Cyrus Javidi's seat, some of those seats that we lost, for one reason or another. We're looking at trying to get those back. We really need to pick up two or three seats. It would be amazing. But if we had a Republican governor, that would change the entire trajectory of the state, and we would become a state that's, much more productive.
All right. Looks like we're out of time for now. Coming off the floor of the House, and I know a lot more will be going on there this afternoon. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Take care.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.